light can open your eyes. One book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power. Read and rise higher.
Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Freedom's Forge by Arthur Herman is a sweeping narrative of how U.S. private enterprise turned a peacetime economy into an arsenal that could overwhelm Axis powers. Rather than a dry procurement ledger, the book follows vivid industrialists and engineers who reimagined factories, processes, and logistics at breathtaking speed. Herman traces the path from the anxious pre-war years through the decisive surges of 1942 to 1944, showing how carmakers, shipbuilders, and small suppliers learned to coordinate with new federal agencies and military planners. Central to the story are pragmatic leaders such as Bill Knudsen and Henry Kaiser, whose improvisation, standardization, and relentless solving slashed costs and cycle times. The result is a blend of biography, business history, and operational insight. Readers come away with a fresh look at innovation under pressure and a deeper understanding of why the U.S. production miracle was not inevitable, but was built by people, systems, and incentives aligned to a single purpose. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, mobilizing U.S. industry and the rise of wartime coordinators. At the heart of Freedom's Forge is the rapid conversion of a consumer economy into a war machine, guided by private sector leaders temporarily embedded in Washington. Arthur Herman profiles William S. Knudsen, the General Motors executive drafted by President Roosevelt to head the Office of Production Management, and later Donald Nelson at the War Production Board. Their shared insight was simple and radical. Set clear output goals, standardize designs, free managers to solve local bottlenecks, and reward speed. Through cost-plus fixed-fee contracts, accelerated depreciation, and priority ratings for materials, the federal government aligned profit with victory. The result was a cascade of conversions as automobile lines shut down and reopened as engine, tank, and artillery plants. Herman shows how procurement czars learned to balance competition with cooperation, spreading subcontracts so that thousands of medium and small firms could join the effort. He also explains the learning curve logic behind setting stretch targets, then ratcheting them upward as factories mastered new workflows. This chapter of the story frames the central thesis. Partnership, not command economy logic, delivered scale, quality, and adaptability faster than any rival. Secondly, Kaiser, Liberty Ships, and the prefabrication revolution. Shipbuilding became the most visible showcase of wartime innovation, and Henry Kaiser stands at its center in Herman's account. Lacking a traditional shipwright pedigree, Kaiser imported dam building methods to the coast. Break the job into standardized modules, fabricate them in parallel, then weld the sections into a hull at lightning speed. His new yards at Richmond, California, along with sites in Oregon and Washington, built Liberty and later Victory ships with a production rhythm that stunned rivals. Prefabrication slashed labor hours per ton, while welding replaced slow riveting and simplified training for a fast-growing workforce. Supply chains were orchestrated like clockwork, with steel plate, engines, and deck gear arriving just in time to meet hull assembly. The famous record build of the freighter Robert E. Peary in under 5 days symbolized the approach. Herman also notes the social infrastructure that made it possible. Worker housing, childcare, on-site medical clinics that seeded the Kaiser health system, and aggressive safety programs. Quality issues were real and were solved in stride through design tweaks and standardized work. The payoff was mass tonnage that kept convoys moving and helped close the logistical gap across two oceans. Thirdly, aviation, Detroit methods, and learning curves. Aviation proved the most complex systems challenge, and the book shows how Detroit methods reshaped the sky. The Willow Run plant built by Ford applied moving assembly to the B-24 Liberator, converting a hand-built aircraft into a product that could flow. The effort stumbled early, then matured through ruthless simplification, fixture design, and intense supplier coordination. Auto firms made instruments, bearings, superchargers, and thousands of fittings. Packard licensed the British Merlin and built it at scale, which transformed the P-51 into a high-altitude escort. Standardization across Boeing, Douglas, and North American plants enabled interchangeable parts and nationwide repair. Herman emphasizes the learning curve math. With every doubling of cumulative output, labor hours fell, defects dropped, and schedules stabilized. Quality systems such as statistical process control and inspection gates migrated from auto and electrical plants to airframes. By 1944, the United States produced nearly 100,000 aircraft per year, a feat made possible by investment in jigs, tooling, and workforce training that let complex assemblies become reliable, repeatable, and shippable on tight deadlines. Fourthly, finance, contracts, and the policy architecture of speed. Behind the hardware stood a financial and policy scaffolding that made speed rational, not reckless. The Reconstruction Finance Corporation and its Defense Plant Corporation financed factory construction, power upgrades, and specialized tooling, often retaining ownership while firms operated the assets under lease. Tax measures allowed accelerated amortization of war investments, cutting downside risk and freeing cash for expansion. Cost-plus fixed-fee contracts paid actual costs and a modest fee, aligning incentives for rapid delivery while discouraging gold plating. Priority rating systems rationed scarce copper, aluminum, and rubber toward critical programs, and allocation boards mediated disputes between Army and Navy demands. Herman shows how procurement teams widened supplier bases to avoid single points of failure, pre-qualifying new entrants and spreading subcontracts nationwide. Antitrust walls bent but did not break, allowing committees where competitors shared gauges, tolerances, and best practices to meet common standards. The resulting hybrid combined private capital and managerial autonomy with public oversight, finance, and long-run purchase commitments. It not only delivered materiel at stunning scale, it left a durable capital stock and training pipeline that powered post-war growth. Lastly, workforce transformation and the social foundations of output, mobilization reshaped the U.S. workforce and social landscape. Herman tracks the surge of women into factories, shipyards, and laboratories, where training programs turned novices into welders, riveters, and technicians. African American migration to defense hubs swelled, and pressure for fair access to jobs led to the creation of the Fair Employment Practice Committee. Labor unions accepted a no-strike pledge in exchange for grievance channels and wage stabilization through the War Labor Board, which helped hold output steady even as hours and stress climbed. Companies and communities built housing, transit links, canteens, and recreation to sustain morale. Health clinics, cafeterias, and safety campaigns reduced absenteeism and boosted productivity. The learning was organizational as much as technical. Foremen learned coaching methods, suggestion systems harvested shop floor ideas, and cross-training made crews resilient when illness or transfers hit. Frictions remained, including wildcat strikes and discrimination, yet the overall trajectory was inclusion at scale for the sake of victory. Those people-centric investments paid dividends after 1945 as veterans, women, and migrants carried skills and expectations into peacetime industries. In conclusion, Freedom's Forge is for leaders, operators, policymakers, and history readers who want a rigorous, energizing account of how to turn purpose into performance at national scale. It will resonate with entrepreneurs, product managers, engineers, supply chain professionals, and public administrators facing complex, fast-moving problems. The book equips you with a toolkit that travels well beyond wartime. Set measurable goals, build modular systems, widen supplier networks, align incentives, and invest in people and process learning. These pages show that large organizations can be both disciplined and inventive when incentives and information flow are designed well. Choose this book over generic World War II surveys because it centers the business engine that made strategy credible, and it animates that engine through unforgettable builders like Knudsen and Kaiser. Herman blends narrative drive with operational detail you can apply on Monday morning, whether you run a startup, a city department, or a global plant. It is a proven guide for leading through uncertainty. If you would like to support Arthur Herman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.
1 minute can open your eyes. 1 book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power. Read and rise higher. Nine Nartree, better life.